Where's my phone? Do I have a phone?
I heard something go off. It
Oh
sounded
yeah,
like a
I
phone.
did have to mute it, so I don't know.
Welcome to the Incoherent Fangirl.
Where we have absolutely no chill because we will be together the next time we record.
I'm so excited.
I am too, I can't wait.
I am Karen from Sean.
And I am Mandy from Lawferton. More on those later.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for this week's episode.
I know, I know. I don't think well, we can announce it later. We still have some time, but we haven't told anybody
We
what's gonna
haven't yet.
happen.
Yes,
So
I'm
we
very
have a very
excited.
special guest coming in just a few minutes.
Yes, I'm very excited.
Did you have any fictional friends this week? Boyfriends, girlfriends?
I did. I have a couple. So I have three. I watched Emma, and we'll talk about that later, but Mr. Knightley.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I love him. I love him. I
That's a good
love
one.
him. He deserves so much better than that woman. And then Emmerich from Sing Me Forgotten. I adore this man. He's so precious. And also, I don't know if you will agree with this, but August from A Bouquet of
Yeah.
Roses. Okay.
Absolutely. I
I was
agree with
like,
that. He's mine too.
well, you sent a text earlier and I was like, wait, Mandy, do we not
No,
feel the
that's why
same
I would
way?
have loved him. That
Okay.
would have made me love him more. I don't want to give it away because it's
No.
spoilers, but
We can talk about that later, but
yes.
yeah, I love August so much.
Yeah.
And he's so
And I know
relatable.
he's like a redhead, but I pictured like a Timothée Chalamet kind of
Yeah,
vibes,
like
and
kind
I
of
just
like
loved him.
yeah, kind of like a almost like a gangly nerdy like guy, but like
Yeah.
still like built but gangly, if that makes sense.
Listen, my entire, like all of my high school years, if they weighed more than like 80 pounds, and it's not like that's not like meant to be like a fat shaming thing, it's just my
Right.
type was like spaghetti noodle
Yeah,
scrawny.
yeah,
Not like built, not muscular. It was
Right.
like, how scrawny and gangly can this person be? Is that even a person? Or are they going to blow away? Was just kind of what I gravitated towards in high school. So I am here for the scrawny,
There's just
nerdy.
something about it that it's just like, it's so, and I don't know if maybe it's just because we're nerds ourselves, but it just feels so, so good.
Yeah.
I love it.
Definitely.
I, yeah.
So yeah, my fictional boyfriend of the week is also August Harris because
We are sharing that because, oh, he is
yes.
perfectly written. And you can
Then
tell he was perfectly written by a woman.
yes,
Ugh, I love him.
absolutely.
And he's so relatable as a person. Ugh,
Yeah.
yeah.
And then Selwyn Cain from Legendborn. I've started Legendborn. My dog keeps interrupting the neighbors that are daring to be in their yard. Legendborn, I started it, and from the second that the book starts, you're hooked, which I don't get that very often. A lot of times it
Yeah.
takes me a few chapters, but Legendborn, I was like in it from the jump. This dude shows up. I'm in a general reading Facebook group. I'm in the first chapter. He shows up. He's like tall and dark hair and gauged ears and kind of like alternative style. And I was just like, I posted in that group, like, I'm in love with him, right? Am I in love with him? Because I think he said maybe three words. So he could be terrible, but
I'm in love with
I
him.
might be in love.
Yeah.
Be in love. So yeah.
Yeah.
So far, Selwyn Cain. I'll let you know if that changes once I get
Yeah.
further in.
Well, yeah, when I was reading Forgery and I was reading specific parts, I was like, August? August, what? August, what are you doing?
I know.
But
I
then
was
it
like,
wasn't, I was
August,
like,
do it, August.
what's
Do
happening?
it. Do it, bestie.
Oh my gosh. It was funny because I was like, I had written down August in my notes before I finished the book. And so I was reading and I was like, wait, am I gonna? No, no, it's fine. Everything's fine. It's fine. All right. This week in fangirling. What did you get into this week, Mandy?
I got into Disney World. My mom and I, we had like a Disney bum rush kind of a weekend. We left on Saturday. What should have taken us, it should be 5 hours from my door to Disney Springs. Okay. Took us about 8.5. Just because of traffic. We saw, it was thankfully on the other side of the road for us this time, but someone was pulled over with a flat tire. They just had a flat tire. They were there changing out their tire. It was one car, one person. So they're just on the side of the road changing a tire. It's a normal thing.
Yeah.
There was standstill traffic because of it that we passed for 14 miles. My mom counted.
What?
For somebody on the side of it, three lanes of interstate. Dead stopped because of one person off the side of the road changing a tire. And that was our whole drive.
I will never allow anybody to make fun of Californians for not being able to drive in the rain ever again.
Oh yeah, because
that is ridiculous.
It was
that is ridiculous
madness. We were so annoyed. But we finally got there. It was raining, so I can go ahead and tease it now. I should have brought it up here with me. We got to Disney Springs and bought these dog raincoats. They're like Disney dogs all over them, which is amazing because my mom is not a dog person, but even she loved it.
Yeah.
We had dinner at the Edison, which was good. And then we just kind of did some shopping. And the next day we went to Epcot, which is my most favorite.
Yay.
I love Epcot so much. So we just spent the day eating. And when we first got there, it was freezing, which was, it wasn't freezing, but it was like 50s and windy. So of course we had to buy Spirit jerseys.
Of course.
And sweatshirts. Yeah. So I got a 50th sweatshirt. I mean, a 50th Spirit jersey. And then, of course, immediately the sun came out and it was a perfect, warm Florida day. We rode the Frozen ride, which we haven't done before, mostly because it normally has an insane line. Mm-hmm. But now with, because of all the little Frozen girls and boys. So we got a Genie Plus lightning lane for it. And we sit down in our row and, I'm noticing all the signs that say you may get wet. So there's a little like parents with like their little, the baby had to have been like 7 or 8 months old behind us. And you don't have like a safety bar. You just sit down. It's like a small world or something.
Okay.
But I convince, like, as we pull away from the, landing area, I tell my mom, this is Epcot's Splash Mountain, but it's bigger. And she's like, you're lying. She's like, this is baby. And I said, well, that baby better hold on because so we turn the corner and you start going up like you do on Splash Mountain. And she's like, wait. And she starts looking around and seeing that there's like a little bit of water in the boat. So she's like, what is happening? I don't want to ride. I don't want to. Because I've tricked her into getting onto Splash Mountain before.
Right.
So what it is that there's one part where Elsa lets it go with her hand and she pushes your boat down a very, it's a drop, but it's a very gradual, there was a 7-month-old baby on it and was fine drop, but it's a long slope.
Yeah.
And then they do it one more time. And so she was just funny to think that she was about to go over this huge drop with this little baby. It was so funny.
I love that.
But I think my favorite part was my Spaceship Earth caught my mom and I being judgmental a-holes. I'll post it on our socials. There was this girl in front of us in line and she was taking at least 5 dozen thousand million selfies. Okay. I just made that number up, but we're in line and she was like backing into my mom to get like selfies, like knocking my mom back. I'm not a confrontational person very often, but touch my mother and I will be. So she was like having to hold me back from saying like, listen, touch my mother again and I will open-handed slap you and be banned from Disney World for 10 years. But I didn't. I just stood there watching her the whole time. We're in line for about 15, 20 minutes. She's just taking selfie after selfie. No shame. I love a good selfie. Stay in your bubble. Mm-hmm. We get into the part where you're getting on the ride. She's taking selfies of herself getting on the ride. When we start going up into the actual spaceship Earth, mm-hmm. it's pitch black. Like it's dark, but she still has her phone out trying to get selfies. And we're like, what is going on? So we're staring at her and we're like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? And Spaceship Earth takes the photo of you for your postcard at the end. And in it, both of our faces are just perfect. It's every time I look at it, I get like, I can't stop laughing. I just get these deep belly laughs because Spaceship Earth totally called us out for being judgmental.
Well, you know what? She deserved it.
She did. It was excessive. Okay. I love a selfie. It was very excessive. And then we got up the next morning, went to Boma for breakfast, and came home. It was very sad. I came home to days of rain and my yard flooding. So I just wanted to be back to Disney.
Yeah.
On top of that, I'll rapid fire the books I've read. There's only two of them. I read A Forgery of Roses, which we'll talk about a little bit later.
Yeah.
And I've started Legendborn.
Yes.
I've already said Legendborn is insanely good so far. I'm only maybe not even a third of the way in. Mm-hmm. Super good. I received an arc of the Rogue Crown, which I'm super excited to start. It's the third book in the Five Crowns of Okrith series by A.K. Mulford. They're fantastic. Cannot wait. So last but not least, the newest episode of Moon Knight.
Yes. It's so good.
So good. It might be closing in on one of the best.
My favorite Marvel part shows. Of that episode is when, and spoilers if you haven't seen Moon Knight episode two.
Skip ahead.
So skip ahead. But when he falls out the window and is like suit, 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 and then he superhero landing in the Mr. Knight suit and then flops over like a
Yes. It reminded me of Deadpool.
That was funny.
Deadpool vibes. Yeah.
It was so, so funny. Oh my gosh. And then when he goes, he's like, okay, I can do this. And he punches him and he gets all excited and then he like gets destroyed.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I loved it. It was so good.
Steven Grant is just the epitome of like chaotic energy.
Yeah. But I'm here for it.
I love it. I love it so much. I can't decide yet if I like Steven or Mark better. Like, I kind of lean
towards Steven.
I know, right? He's so
just
much
because
more,
I'm like he's so really relatable. Yeah.
He's just so awkward. And I love it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm interested because the whole thing where Mark is like, Khonshu's has his eyes on Layla next as his next avatar. And I'm like, wait, what? I need more details because, and then Arthur having previously been his avatar.
Yeah. And listen, I don't know what it is about him. It has always been a thing for me. Mm-hmm. Ethan Hawke has creeped me out as long as I've been alive. I don't know what it is, but he played like he does creepy so well that when I see him, I'm like, yeah. Ugh. So he's perfectly cast walking around in alligator shoes and
I've all seen of that. There, so I've seen, I'm very solidly in like MCU TikTok territory. And so
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of people being like, there's like callbacks. Like back in, well, first of all, the whole like Amit judging people for things they haven't done yet, like
Yeah.
taking them out before they're a threat, is the whole point of Captain America, the Winter Soldier. Where they've got the helicarriers and they're like running this program supposedly to take people out, take threats out before they become threats,
For
even though it ends up being
the
Hydra trying to take out like Avengers,
yeah,
you know? But it's the similar theme.
but it's all, I mean, that's Egyptian like lore too, so that goes
It's
way
it goes
before.
way, but it's just it's a nice little like, and then I think somebody said in that same movie, when Steve and Nat are like trying to get information out of what's his name? The bald guy with the glasses. Why do I not remember his name? But he was a
I don't
Hydra
remember either.
agent, and
Oof.
he was in a Hydra. He's the one like, you know, Nat pushes him off the roof of the building.
Yeah.
Like he's like, oh, Steve's not gonna do it. And then he's like, you're right, I'm not, but she will. And then she like kicks him off the
Yeah.
building and
Yeet.
Sam picks him up. But him, he mentions like something like Cairo, and that's where Mark slash
This,
Steve end
yeah.
up at the end of the
Wakes
episode.
up.
And it's like,
Also, can
yeah.
you imagine just like waking up right outside of the freaking pyramids?
Oh
Like,
my God.
at
Okay,
this
did
point, I
we
don't
not
even care how scared I am. This is
wait, is
amazing.
it? Is it Mark? Is it? It's still Mark, though, isn't it? At the end of the episode? It's not Steven.
Even
Because
so.
he's. Yeah. Well, I mean, obvious. But
Yeah,
yeah. But I wonder now,
Steven's still in the mirror.
since we see Steven in the mirror, if when they switch, Steven will, like, remember what Mark has done now. You know what I
Maybe.
mean? Because before, he just had these gaps in his memory because he wasn't aware of the like multiple personalities.
Yeah.
But now he's like aware, he's there, he's in the mirror, so he's experiencing these things with Mark.
That's true.
So maybe
Instead of
next
just being
time,
asleep.
right? So I find that fascinating. I'm really
I do
excited to
too.
see what happens next.
Yeah, and Josh and I had like have had these like big conversations about DID now because of it,
Yeah.
of you know, a lot of people don't even know that dissociative identity disorder is a thing. So I think it's really cool that they're taking like real world things that real people deal with, and instead of saying this makes you different, this makes you weird, it's like you could be a superhero.
Right,
And it was
right.
the same with like we talked about, like it's very similar to when Thor started dealing with depression and he gained a bunch of weight and then remembers that he's worthy, and he like he snaps and clean, like his hair is cleaned up, his beard is trimmed, but
That
he did not
moment.
lose back the weight. And I love it. I
Okay.
love that so much.
I do too, but did you know that they originally wanted him to lose it?
I hate that idea.
I
I
hated that.
love that they did not do that.
Chris Hemsworth fought to keep the fat suit on
Yeah.
because he was like, "No, you
Just
can't just
because
do that."
it
He's
doesn't
still
make you perfect when you lose all the weight.
Right.
It
Just
makes you perfect
he's
that you know
still
that you're
worthy
worthy with it.
regardless.
Yeah.
That moment when he gets Mjolnir and he's just like, "I'm still worthy." Like
Yeah.
I'm
I sobbed.
bawling because
Yeah.
that's such the epitome of just everything.
And it's teaching people that you don't have to have the body of Chris Hemsworth or Scarlett Johansson to
Right.
be worthy, to be a superhero, to be valuable. So, and you can have mental illnesses like
Right.
DID, and it doesn't have to be
Exactly.
an illness. It can be empowering too, you know? All right, what'd you do this week, Karen?
So last week I said that I was reading Love Boat Taipei. I finished that and I finished Love Boat Reunion, the second one, and I am obsessed with these books. I hope that there's more. I told this to the author when I met her on Sunday that I wish there were books like this when I was growing up because it really just encapsulates like the Asian American experience and I related to it so hard. I am very excited to see if there's more coming.
So you didn't have it, but your kid will.
Yes. I
So
love
that's
that
cool. That's a cool
so,
thing
so
to
much.
have to know
Yes.
that
And
she will have these kind of books.
she's gonna grow up in the world where there is an Asian superhero, multiple,
Yeah.
on like Marvel screens. So I'm very excited
Yeah.
about that. I also read Sing Me Forgotten and A Forgery of Roses by Jessica S. Olsen, both of
So
which
good.
I loved. I finished In a Dark, Dark Wood by Ruth Ware that I was talking about last week. I know last week I said I was very confused about it, but I kept going and it was really, really good. It's
So you're
there.
glad you kept going?
I'm glad I kept going. And I knew that it would probably pick up because it was recommended to me by somebody that I very much trust. So I was like, there's no way she would have recommended it to me if it
If
didn't
it's
end up being
terrible.
good, right? So I finished that. The Grammys were this past week, which I don't really have much to say about the Grammys. I just watch it because it's an award show,
Yeah.
and I love award shows. I don't know what it is. I like seeing celebrities get awards. I'm a
I like
weirdo.
them. I care more about their clothes
Oh,
than like them getting the awards.
yeah, that's
Unless it's
also
like a historic award, but like
right.
I love red carpet.
There was a moment where Doja Cat won an award with SZA, and she
Bless
was in the
her
bathroom at the time.
heart.
There were
She was all out
videos.
of breath. I
Yeah,
saw that.
she was like, she had to turn around on stage and like adjust her dress because she literally ran from the bathroom on stage. It was so funny.
I love it. That's so precious.
It was very precious. I watched Morbius, like I said I was gonna do last week. Matt
We've
Smith
decided we're not
was
doing it. We're just gonna wait.
Matt Smith was perfection, as always. The story overall was nothing new. I felt like it was very predictable. I kind of expected everything that was gonna happen. It's kind of just pretty standard story. It's like nothing out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
There were these cops that were there that I kind of was like, what, why are you here?
Why are you here? What are you doing here?
What is your story, and why does it affect my story? Because it really just didn't feel like it mattered too much. There was a weird thing where I like related it to the Matrix because there was like, so Dr. Morbius creates like synthetic blood. That's his like big claim to fame.
Yeah.
But it's blue, and obviously blood is red. And so there was like a red versus blue thing that made me think of the Matrix.
Yeah.
And there were also like moves like during fight scenes or like chase scenes or whatnot, where you know, like that iconic Matrix move where he like bends all the way backward to avoid bullets. There were things in Morbius that kind of made me think of that too, and I was like, this is weird that
Is there
I'm.
like a director or a producer or something that also did The
I
Matrix? I
can't
wonder if
remember.
that's why.
I'll Google it later. But
Yeah.
yeah, I like made that weird parallel. I'm like, these are not movies that really go together, but why am I making this connection? It was weird. The fight scenes were pretty lame. They
You said
were
that so
like,
matter-of-factly.
I just it they were so like over CGI'd. Like it was basically because Morbius is like a vampire, right? He's like the living vampire is what the comics call him or whatnot. And so he's fighting and it's like very okay. Remember in I think it was like Death, no, Order of the Phoenix, where they're like fighting, but they're like wisps of smoke and fighting,
Yeah.
and it was like that. And it was like you can't really see them fighting for realsies. It
Yeah.
was just like smoke attack.
Well, at least in Harry Potter, you had like the kids also there. So, like, you still had like people around the wisps.
But it was, I don't know, it
Weird.
was, and there were like weird slow-mos. Like, I don't know, it was bizarre. One thing that I did like, other than Matt Smith's entire performance, was there was a point where somebody asked Matt Smith's character, whose name I legitimately cannot even remember right now. That's how memorable this movie was to me. Where he was asked, what's your pain level from like on a scale of 1 to 10? And Matt Smith is like 11. And I was sitting there laughing. I was like chuckling in the theater. I'm like,
Best
that's funny.
doctor, Dr. Eleven.
We will agree to disagree. And then there were two like mid-credit scenes, which were really, I felt like they didn't really connect to the movie at all. It was like, Michael Keaton, who Liz's dad, Liz, is that her name, in Spider-Man Homecoming?
Yes. Yes.
So he was Vulture in Spider-Man Homecoming. And then he ends up in this movie. And there's like, obviously, there's a whole multiverse thing going on. But it just didn't make sense for him to really be that. He didn't contribute anything to the story. And one of, I think the second mid-credit scenes was like they were trying to like tease like a team up between the villains, like a Sinister Six team up, is what some people on TikTok have been saying. But it didn't make any sense for them
Yeah.
to even be talking to each other. So I don't know. It's
Why
Sony's
do they
trying
keep
real hard.
trying? Why do they
Sony's
keep
trying hard.
trying?
And then I also watched a movie called The Bubble with Karen Gillan, Pedro Pascal.
You had a Doctor Who weekend or week.
I know, I just need Arthur Darvill to be in something, and that would have completed the trifecta. But yeah, so this movie is basically, it's a group of actors being sequestered in quarantine and filming an entire movie during the COVID pandemic. But it's like not like realistic. It's very, very like parody. I think it's Judd Apatow. So
Okay.
it's that gives you an idea of what kind of the
Yeah.
tone is. And
Yeah.
it's not a bad movie. It was just kind of like, why was this? Why? Just
Why was
why?
this a movie?
It was, I mean, the performances were great. Everybody was amazing. It was just why? Who
Yeah.
asked
Why? What?
for this?
I guess somebody had to make a movie about COVID.
Okay, and then the last thing that I watched this week was during movie night with Beth, and we watched the Gwyneth Paltrow version of Emma. And I just gotta say, Emma is the worst,
Yeah.
and Mr. Knightley deserved so much better. I love him.
Yeah.
I love him. He deserved so much better than her. She was just a busybody. And it was funny because I was watching it and I was on the phone with Beth and I was just like, so basically she is the mom from Pride and Prejudice, just not as
Yeah.
insane.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, that sounds about right.
That's pretty accurate. You don't want to be like Emma.
You know, I'm told that in the book she has more of a like more character development where she actually does honestly get better at the end.
Yeah.
But because in the movie they have such a limited of time, you kind of don't see that as much.
And the
So I,
journey kind of sucks.
yeah, it's just like, not so much. So that was my weekend fangirling. Yeah, that was everything. I was like looking at my list. I think that's it.
And that sound means we have an intruder alert.
Intruders. Our special guest this week is the author of Sing Me Forgotten and A Forgery of Roses, Jessica S. Olsen. And we are so excited to talk to you today, Jessica.
Yes. I'm so excited to be here.
We've been talking about this for like ever since I like confirmed that you would do this. We were so excited.
Yay.
I texted Mandy and I was like, she said yes. She said yes. What
We
do
were like, what do we do with our hands?
I don't know what
Oh
to do. We were very excited. So thank you so much for being here.
my gosh. Yeah, no problem. I'm happy to be here. I think podcasts are super fun. So super happy to talk to you.
Yay. So this week I read both of the books and I have words for you, ma'am.
Oh yeah, sorry.
But first, I just want to know kind of like, I know when you wrote Sing Me, you weren't under contract, and then for Forgery, you were. Does that kind of affect how you write? Like, I know you had deadlines with Forgery. Did it kind of feel like it was more stifling or more like helpful to have a structure?
It's actually really weird. Like when I look back at my time writing Sing Me Forgotten, I have very clear memories of doing it. But with A Fortune of Roses, it almost feels like this weird like fever dream. I think because I had to do it so fast. Because we had a discussion. It was my editor, you know, I had like pitched them a book for my second book of my deal, and they were super keen on that idea. And I'd been working on that one for a while. So it was like, oh, shoot. Well, then what do I do if they don't want that one? And so we, this was like March 1st of like 2020. It was 2020. It was like March 1st. We were talking about like, what should I write? And my book was due August 1st. And I still didn't know in March, like what I was supposed to be writing. And it was due August 1st. And like, so it was like, so fast, like, because Sing Me Forgotten took, I mean, I wrote Sing Me Forgotten pretty quickly, but I had time to edit. Like I edited it for a long time. Like I wrote Sing Me Forgotten in like the summer of 2018 and, you know, revised it and got my agent in 2019. And then we sold it in 2019. And then I was editing with my editor for like months after that. So it just felt like so much more spread out and stretched out. And there was so much more like just revising and editing time that I had with it. And so I really felt like I like knew my characters and that they were extensions of me and that the story, like I knew the story backward and forth. Like people be like, I'm on chapter 15. I'm like, oh, I know exactly what happens in chapter 15. Like stuff like that. And like people be like, oh, I love this line. And I could like quote it verbatim for them. Like, cause I had read it so many times.
Yeah.
But like with Forgery of Roses, it was like, it was just so fast. Like I didn't have time to like sit with it ever. It was like, I came up with the idea. Then a week later I had an outline. And then a month later I had a draft. And then I had to like, you know what I mean? It was just very like condensed. And so it feels very much like a fever dream. Like it doesn't feel like I wrote it. Like I look at the book on the shelf and it feels like very like that exists. Like this is, it's like weird, it's super weird. And like,
yeah,
it's like, and I remember doing the work, but it felt very like my memories of it feel like someone else did it. It's weird. Like it's not like less me. Like it's definitely still me and the characters are still like extensions of me. And like, they, you know, like, you know, pieces of them come from pieces of me. And so I still love the characters just as much. And like, I'm really passionate about them, but it's just interesting how different it feels. I also feel like I hate it less than I did with Sing Me Forgotten, because Sing Me Forgotten, I went through it so many times. It got to the point where I was like, if I have to look at that book again, I will scream. But with Forgery of Roses, I didn't ever reach that point because it was so fast. Like yeah. I got the audiobook and I was like, I would actually listen to the audiobook of this. Whereas like Sing Me Forgotten, I was like, I have no desire to ever listen to that book ever again. Because it was, I went through it so many times, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I read Forgery of Roses this week and I just, we were talking earlier about how August is just.
I love him.
Because he's so relatable and you feel like, you feel the anxiety that he does. And it's like, mm-hmm. I've been there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know what that feels like. So. We really appreciate a character that is so relatable to you and not just like Mr. Perfect coming in here doing and saying everything right 100% of the time. Like, give me somebody with flaws.
Mm-hmm.
We love
it. Yeah, that was really important to me because I love like, you know, the really sexy, like brooding love interest as much as person. Like I do enjoy those and like I will write them but in this book it felt really important to me to write a love interest who felt like a real boy, like because I feel like a lot of especially teen boys and like they feel like they have to be a certain amount of masculine or a certain amount of like, you know, tough or whatever, and they don't ever have room to like feel their feelings and like so I wanted a character who did and who didn't apologize for feeling his feelings. Yeah. And I also wanted to show that people with anxiety can be love interests because I have anxiety. So I wanted to write a character that was like very anxious and still, you know, attractive and worthy of being loved without having to change anything about himself. And I that was really important to me when
I really enjoyed that Mira, like, came into like she slowly discovered who he was and why. Because when she first meets him, she feels like he's really cold and cut off. And that's just a symptom of his anxiety. And she realizes mm-hmm. that later on. And it's such mm-hmm. a beautiful way to show, like, you don't know what somebody's going through. Mm-mm. And yeah. and I loved that so much.
Yeah, that came from like my own life, because a lot of people, when they first meet me, they think I'm like really stoic. And I'm like, no, it's just because I'm super stressed out. And like, like, I think everyone hates me. So I, you know,
yep.
so I like channeled that into August. I was like, he's got like the resting bee face, you know, because he's stressed out and he doesn't want, you know, he's been judged for his, what society deems flaws, for his whole life. And so he, you know, is very much has like all of his walls up when he first meets her. So.
Yeah, yeah, we do a segment on our podcast we call Fictional Boyfriend of the Week. And both of us were just like, August Harris, 100%. We are in love with this man.
Yes, we are.
I think I said he's like the perfect like man wouldn't buy a woman that has ever existed. Because
yeah.
he's just such a relatable character. He's so, I don't know, I just... And I think Mandy and I were talking about how we pictured like this like slightly built but still like gangly nerdy type, and it just
I pictured like a redheaded like Timothy Chalamet type, like skinny but still like I don't know.
Yeah, I was like, perfect. I mean, we always get like the super built guys with the big curls and stuff. And I was like, I think this guy, he's going to be like tall and gangly, and but still have his own like quirky handsome is kind of what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm glad that came off.
Yes, it did really well.
Also, and I don't want to give away a spoiler because we want people to go read, obviously, but that ending, I never saw coming. Normally I can like guess what's going to happen. I was fully on board with a very lovable character being it, being the person. And I was here for it because I love a murderous, anyways, I never, ever saw it coming. So I was listening to the audiobook and my jaw just dropped. It was like, wait, what? And I had to go back and like listen to that section a few times. It was like, no, what?
I had a similar reaction. I knew that one of the characters that we were exposed to was, I was like, that guy's bad news, I feel it. But I did not expect that twist.
Yeah, no. It's funny because a lot of people say similar things. Like they'll say, oh, I thought it was this person, or I thought it was this person, or whatever. And like you can get like pieces of it, but not very many people actually figured out like the whole truth.
That was really
fun as an author to see like, oh, good. Too obvious or whatever.
Yeah, it was really well done.
I also liked how Myra is also not perfect, because like from the very start of the book, I was like, why don't you just paint your sister better? Why don't you just paint her better? But it's not something that you would think about when you're actually in it. Mm-hmm. You're like, you know, things are happening in front of me and I feel out of control. And it seems like such an obvious thing. And when someone says it to her, it's like, oh my God. But it's still... Is it that perfect scenario that she would want it to be? And mm-hmm. I love that. I love that she, you know, is also relatable, you know?
Yeah. Myra's journey was also like kind of important to me, because I wanted to show that like I think so many of us right now, especially with the pandemic, feel like so many things are just completely out of our control. Like we just feel like we're being strung along by like all of this crap that's going on in our lives. And I kind of wanted to capture that with her, and like it was important to me that her magic couldn't solve all the problems,
right?
You know, like I wanted to, especially because I feel very strongly that disabilities and mental illness and chronic illnesses, they are not faults and they're not things that should be like magicked away. Like I think that they're like just one of the many beautiful like brush strokes or whatever, if we're going to be metaphorical, that make us like who we are and make us the beautiful masterpieces that we are. And so I wanted to make sure that like in her magic, being able to like heal small wounds or being able to like change people's appearances, that it couldn't change fundamental pieces of who people are. And so that's why it was really important to me that she couldn't just like paint away Lucy's problem.
I love that. That
was paint away August's problems.
Yeah, it makes it real.
Parts. Yeah. Like they're,
it makes it more real.
These parts of them are they're fundamental parts of their personality, and they are they might have issues with it, but they're stronger because of it. And you can't just take that away from them. And I really loved that aspect of it. Like you made it
because August. Right. I was going to say, like, just because August would not be August without his anxiety. Right. And Lucy would not be the girl that she has become without her chronic illness. And Myra would not be the person that she is without the trials that she has gone through as well. And I think that that's a really important part of the story, is that we cannot change things, but we can grow from the things that like that maybe that we can't control about our lives, but we can still be in charge of who we are. So,
right. Well, yeah, because there are things that we all wish we could just paint away. But that's not the point of living.
Right, exactly.
It's empowering that she was able to fix the immediate problem after surgery to heal this. But the illness doesn't go away. And that's okay. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Because she's here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And she's so smart. Like, I'm so amazed by her.
I love Lucy. She's my favorite character. People ask me, what's your favorite character in Forge of the Roses? I'm like, it's Lucy. Lucy.
I want to talk about it's interesting because we're talking about like how these things are a part of us. They're a part of our fundamental personality. But in Sing Me Forgotten, we have, how have I already forgotten her name? Izda. Izda is able to, she can manipulate memories or take them away or give them to her people. And it's just, memories are also a part of like who we are and how we become the people that we are. So I feel like they're almost like foils. Your two books, they have different, and I'm interested to see, like, how did you go from, let me erase this and change like their personalities, but are they still the same people? Like,
I think that's one of the questions that the book asks that doesn't like entirely answer it, because I think it's one of those things that I just like want people to think about, like what makes you who you are, and you know, like, does, you know, if Izda could forget something, would that change who she is and stuff? Mm-hmm. Because she's gone through so much trauma in her life. And the fact that she cannot forget any of it is part of what drives her to, you know, into her little villain origin story. I've never really thought about them as like foils to each other, the two books, but that's definitely an interesting way of thinking about it for sure. I think there's a little bit of, in like all of the stuff that I write, there's always this hint of like what makes people monstrous and like what, like the monster within, like, cause I feel like we all have monstrosity in us in a certain way. Like we all have not so nice things that we think and not so selfless things that we want and stuff. We're not always like the hero in, even if maybe we act like the hero all the time, we're not always like, we don't always feel like the hero. And I think that both of my books, I really wanted to explore the things that push those monstrous parts out of, you know, hiding. So in Sing Me Forgotten, it's all about how Izda, who's a very kind and sweet and naive girl, gets pushed into monstrosity by people who treat her like a monster. And then in A Forgery of Roses, it's about people viewing Myra as a monster, but her being so very much not a monster, you know, and like somebody else who is not viewed as a monster actually being a monster. You know what I mean? Like it's, there's that dichotomy. So yeah.
And both of these books handle art as like a a part of the magic that creates them. Like, mm-hmm. Sing Me Forgotten is music, is the catalyst. Horrid of Roses is actual art. Is that something that is, like, a major part of your life? Like, I think I remember you saying that you did music previously. Mm-hmm. And so is that kind of, like, a theme that you just love including because it's something that you personally are very connected to?
Yeah, I just really like creative like pursuits and like music, art, dance, like theater, those kinds of things. And I think that they're not valued enough. And I think they're so magical. Like the way that like you can communicate something through song that you could never communicate any other way, or with dance. Like I have seen dances, like dance routines that like left me weeping because they showed me something about myself that I'd never thought of before, or they showed a struggle that I have had in such a way that I'd never seen portrayed before or something like that. I think that magic is real in those kinds of things. Like it's a way that we connect to each other that is just like it's like on a different plane. And so for me, it was really fun to explore that with like making it into a magic system in both books with music. I have a background in music. I play the flute and the piano and some organ, and I did singing and stuff.
Organ.
Yeah. Not a ton. I've never been like super formally trained. I mostly just like dink around on it and stuff. And yeah. I've played it for church and stuff, but it was just, you know, music was such a big part of my life growing up, and writing too, which I also think is another art. And so,
absolutely.
So yeah, it was just, for me, it's just like a natural extension of what art is. Like, I think it's magic. So I wanted to show that in a magic system.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. It's such an interesting way to explain magic that I wouldn't have thought of. I'm so glad you did, you know, because so often magic has to like come out of your hand or like be a spell or a word, mm-hmm. but to be paint yeah. or yes. music notes. Like, I love it.
Yeah. It was fun.
I wrote down notes. I watched your Instagram live with, Kim.
I think it was
last week. You guys were adorable. I loved that entire conversation.
we're like really close friends. So I was like, this is probably going to get a little off the wall, but we're gonna go with it.
I loved it. One of my favorite parts of that live was you said words are not my thing, and I sat there laughing for so long. I was like, ma'am, you are a writer.
Seems like they might
words
be
are absolutely your thing.
Written words are my thing, spoken it depends on the day.
I feel like that's the August in you. Like, he was able to write out how he feels, and I watched that live, and then I read Forgery, and I was like, oh that's her, that's a piece of her. I love that.
And that's like a thing in his thing, you know, in his arc, is that he realized that he can use, because he's a good writer, and he realized he can use that to communicate in ways that he couldn't, you know, he'd never thought of before. And I was like, that's how I get things out, as I write books. Like, that's how I communicate myself to the world, because, you know, other ways are a little bit trickier. So it was fun.
Absolutely. Let's see.
Karen's the more organized one of us, by the way. If you can't tell.
Okay, so both of your books have these cute little, like, decorative edges at the start of each chapter, which I haven't really seen on anything. Was that, like, a choice that you made specifically for the books because they're so artsy, you know? Mm-hmm. The books themselves are pieces of art, and you're adding more art into it. Like, what was the thought process behind that?
I actually didn't know that they were going to do that. It was something that my publisher just did. And I think my publisher does a really good job of like trying to capture what's in the story on the cover and in the pages and in the design. And so I think that they were really purposeful about trying to pull the border from like Sing Me Forgotten and the border on Forgery's cover and put that through on the chapter headings, just so that it was like really cohesive and like reflected the art the artistic nature of the story, but actually it wasn't me at all. But I loved it when I got it in the mail. I was like, this is perfect.
Yeah, I opened Sing Me Forgotten to read, and I saw it on chapter one, and I was like, oh, that's a cool way to start the book. And it was like every chapter, I'm like, okay, I really like this.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Yeah, it was a surprise to me, and I was very pleasantly surprised.
That's nice that you can still be surprised by something that's still yes. your work.
Yeah.
Another thing that you talked about during your live with Kim was the Pride and Prejudice hand flex, which is I wanted to bring up because I recently watched the 2005 Pride and Prejudice.
She tried to tell me that. Is it Hugh Grant?
Colin Firth,
Mr. Darcy, was the best. And I was like, wait a second. Does he do the hair flex? Does he have the chest hair?
Mandy's very passionate about the hand flex.
I'm so very I made passionate sure about that hand
to put
flex.
It in my notes because you guys talked about it. Yeah. I was just like, this is so funny. And there were so many things during that live that you guys talked about that I was like, we literally just talked about this too.
Yeah.
Like, one of the questions that was brought up was, what fictional character would you like to have on your side, like during a zombie apocalypse?
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember if it was you or Kim who said it, but Castiel is mm-hmm. Mandy's like Mandy's ultimate book boyfriend right there.
No, he's number three. He's number three. Come on.
Okay, number one and two.
Yeah.
Aaron Warner from Shatter Me. And okay. Lorcan Salvatore from Throne of Glass.
Nice.
Yeah, that was one of my questions. I was going to, I text Karen this morning. I was like, I have to know like her book boyfriends, book girlfriends, whoever.
Yeah.
Like,
who's like your like top three? What about you?
Oh, wow. This would be hard. people that I haven't written, because Emmerich is like my favorite. He's like modeled after my husband. So like, he's one of my favorites. But if we're talking about people who are not that I haven't written. I really love Kel from Darker Shade of Magic by V.E. Schwab.
Uh-huh.
I love him. Like I would die. I would take a bullet for Kel. trying to think who else. This isn't a book, but I'm obsessed.
Okay.
I'm obsessed with Damon Salvatore. Like, I mean, it is a book, but I love the TV version from Vampire Diaries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Damon Salvatore. Like I would marry him probably if I wasn't already married. And he
I was a Klaus girl.
I love Klaus too. He's up there too. I love Klaus.
Yeah.
And let's see who else. I love Matthias in Six of Crows.
Yes. Yes.
I just think his like naivete is so cute. Like it's so cute. They're like making jokes about swords and he has no idea that they are like not talking about swords.
Yeah. He's so endearing. You just want to like come here. It's okay.
I love it when people are multi-layered like that. Like they're not like, one thing. Like they're I don't know. And I love like how we see like Nina break down his walls. Like I don't know. I love and I also really, really loved Henry in The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue. He's just really sweet. So I don't know. I have a soft spot for like sweet guys, like cinnamon roll boys.
Yeah.
I love them. But I also
Henry is so underrated.
He is.
Yeah. And that's why like both of my books so far have featured cinnamon roll love interests.
Yeah.
But
they're
I also
the best
really
kind, I think.
They are. I just like want to like snuggle them up in my pocket. Like put them in my pocket.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're just too tender for this world.
that makes me think of my absolute favorite sweetheart, Ansel Diggory from Serpent and Dove.
Yes.
Oh, my heart. I would I love that man.
I'll never get over
Ansel's one of my favorites.
Ansel is one of my favorites, and there's just a hole in my heart where he should be.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Serpent and Dove, I feel like Reed is very similar to Matthias now that we're like talking about them one after the other. Like
that's very true.
Like very like straight laced, like kind of like very literal and like
big brooding warrior, but completely oblivious.
Yeah. But oblivious, like...
exactly. I love that. I heard that you did a year of study abroad in Paris, in France.
Yeah, it wasn't quite a year, but it was a semester. Yeah, I did in Paris, and it was like 2019, I want to say. So it was a long time ago. Not 19, 2009. I wish I'd gone to Paris in 2019. No, it was 2009, and it was just a semester. But yeah, I lived with a host family, and I got my minor in French in college. I was originally actually a French major, but it was just funny because everybody would be like, oh, you know, what's your major? And I'd be like, oh, I'm majoring in French. And they're like, so what do you want to be like when you're done with school? And I was like, oh, I'm going to be an author. And they're like, then why are you majoring in French? I was just like,
because I want to.
So I ended up switching my major to English and getting an editing minor. But then I had so many credits from being a French major for so long that I just like automatically got the French minor. So, but yeah, so I did a study abroad and lived with a host family. It was like a 10-minute walk to the Eiffel Tower. It was really amazing.
I'm so cool. Jealous.
I want to go back cool. So bad. I'm like, okay, I just need one of my books to go like mega bonkers bestseller in France. And then like, I could like go do a tour there or something.
Yes. I feel like
one of those pipe dreams I have.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're going to manifest. Like, it's going to happen.
I mean, both my happen. Books have sold. Like both my books are being translated into French. Like they both sold to French publishers, but it's just, who knows how they're, how they'll be received, but I'm
they're
so
gonna
excited.
They're going to be amazing.
I can't wait to read it in French.
I'm very excited. I loved it. And I feel like some of that French influence is in Sing Me because mm-hmm. we've got some of that. And I love that. I don't know what it is. I love something about like a mix of like culture and language in a book. It just mm-hmm. feels fun. It feels more authentic in a way because that's mm-hmm. just mm-hmm. kind of how the real world is as well.
Yeah.
So I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really fun. It was kind of like Sing Me Forgotten was kind of my like love letter to music and to Phantom of the Opera and to Paris.
I love that it's like inspired by Phantom, but it's still its own separate story and it's yeah. got its own world. I love that.
Thanks. Yeah, that was really important to me that like even people who don't love Phantom like I do or who haven't seen it maybe could still read and enjoy the book. So yeah.
My twin nieces they were about 10 or 11. They watched the Gerard Butler Phantom in music class, and one of them came home and she was like, I just hate this. I fell asleep and I was like, get out, you can't stay here anymore. What are you talking about? How dare you? This is magical.
I'm actually not like a super huge fan of the movie like version with Gerard Butler, but like I will die for like seeing it on Broadway or like the 25th anniversary Broadway recording with Sierra in Armloo. Like I would die for that. Like I love those so much. I mean, I like the movie all right, but I think that
it's just what what they were watched is what they had.
Yeah,
then so it was like we don't speak ill of the Phantom of the Opera.
We do not speak ill of the
heathen child.
Curse you.
Yeah.
So you've said that both of these books are standalone. Mm-hmm. However, could you do more? Because I need more, Jessica. I need more.
Both. I need some characters to get what they deserve.
The ending of both. I feel like that even though they're standalone, the ending of both of them kind of leave you open to revisit if you wanted to.
Yeah. So Sing Me Forgotten, like. You know, Sing Me Forgotten, 100%.
Mandy hasn't read Sing Me yet, so
okay,
we're gonna...
I will not. But Sing Me Forgotten, 100%. I wrote for it to be a standalone, and I feel like the ending. I feel like it would cheapen the way that I ended it if I told you what happened next, and so, mm-hmm. And I wanted it to just be like kind of this hopeful ending that you know you get to choose. What you think will happen next based on what happened in the book. Mm-hmm. But A Forgery of Roses, I have like a whole series in my head and like, but it's most like we, you know, it was sold as a single book and, you know, whether or not publishers want to buy future books in a series depends entirely on how well the first book sells. So like if A Forgery of Roses took off and people really loved it and were clamoring for more, then I might consider pitching the sequel ideas to my publisher or whatever. But since right now it's just a standalone and, you know, I have other books I want to write, like it's not on the in the plans right now to like pitch those ideas. But like, I've had so many people DMing me asking me, like, what came out being like, I need a sequel. So I'm like, maybe I might have to, I don't know. Like I have so many ideas for where the characters would go next and the next mystery that they would solve and everything, but it would,
you hear that, people go buy, go buy a Forgery of Roses right now.
If you like a Forgery of Roses, tell your friends. And
all right. So we are running short on time, but I wanted to pose one final little question. You are working on book 3. Is there anything that you can tell us, any kind of sneak peek into what you're writing?
So this book, full disclosure, we have not sold it to anybody yet. Like, we haven't shown it to my publisher. So I told you I recently had a baby, and so we didn't want me to be on deadline at all, like while I had him and while I was recovering from that and stuff. And so we were waiting to sell it until like I'm like kind of in a stable position in my life. But as long as this sells, which I'm hopeful that it will, all I can really say about it is that it'll appeal to the same people who like my first two books. It's very like dark and gothic feeling, and there's magic and there's like messy relationships and a mystery to be solved, or two or three. So that's all I can really say, but I'm really, really proud of it. It's been like by far the hardest thing I've ever written and like the most complicated, twisty thing I've ever written. And so hopefully it will make it to the shelf right next to these books someday soon.
Yay.
I'm sure it will. I can't wait. Can't
wait. All right. Thanks. Well, thank you for joining us. I love this chat and I love talking about
this. This has been so much fun.
These books. Yes. Yeah. It's been so much fun. And I love these books. I want to read them again already. Like, aww. I just finished them. So, thank you so much for joining us and spending some of your Saturday with us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you so much for having me and for reading and supporting my book. That really means so much.
Yes.
We need you to go kiss your baby from their incoherent aunties.
Yeah. Oh, will do. Will do. He gets kisses all the time. Uh-oh. Sorry, that's my phone. My bad.
That's okay. It's a very incoherent moment here.
Yep.
All righty. Well, enjoy the rest of your Saturday. Okay, thank you for joining us.
All right. Bye.
Bye. That was awesome.
That was so much fun. She's so down to earth and like, just like a regular person.
Oh my God, it's a human.
Yeah. Sometimes you like build up these like people that you like know of, like authors or celebrities or something, and you're like, they're so like larger than life. And it's just like, she's just a regular person. It's like authors.
She had excellent taste in book boyfriends.
Yeah, you guys were on the same level.
Yeah.
I love that she's just as like nerdy as us.
Yeah.
Like, it was so much fun to be able to just talk to her about like just fun fangirling things as well as like little, you know, book things, but like it was fun. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful that she like said yes to do this.
I know. Gave us some of her time. That is really cool.
It was very sweet of her. That was so much fun.
Now to get Amber. Yes. Amber D. Lewis, we're coming for you soon.
You're coming next. This is going to be our little clip where we post it to social media and be like, Amber, we're coming for you. And tag her and everything.
There's nowhere you can hide. We won't find you. That's creepy. Ew. We just want to be your friends on our podcast. That's
just
all.
Come
we're not
hang
creepy.
Out with us, please.
Well, I spent a lot of money this weekend or this week.
Where did your money go, Mandy?
Oh, my money went to the Walt Disney Company. So my mom and I went to Disney. And when we got to Epcot the morning that we were there, it was really cold. It was like in the 50s. So and it was really windy. So of course we had to buy spirit jerseys. Right. You know, I think I've already mentioned that in this episode, but that was money. I know I talked about the doggy raincoats. I got a Starbucks 50th tumbler for Walt Disney World's 50th because it's going on right now. Mm-hmm. My dining room is where three of my dogs like eat in their crates because they're kind of super territorial about their food. They're not like, they're not mean, but they would like, one would finish and then go get in the other's bowls. Mm-hmm. But George Bailey, my Yorkie, he's the smallest and he eats like just out in the house. And so his dog bowls are right next to the dining room, which is Haunted Mansion themed. And they had Haunted Mansion dog bowls. So I got him, they say, feed me, foolish mortal. So I got him those. I got some Ratatouille kitchen decor because my kitchen right next to my Haunted Mansion dining room is Ratatouille themed. I got an Orange Bird sipper, which I posted on my personal social media. And it's funny because it's like up on a shelf in my library. And if we ever show, like, if you become a patron and we start showing these, you can see him. He's kind of up. And I'll have to post this video of my husband last night because he was playing video games. And I was just kind of sitting here reading. And we had like the lamps on. And the angle that Orange Bird is at on my shelves, it looked like he, and the lighting, it looked like he was just glaring down directly at my husband, like murderously. And so I was like, dude, you better watch your back. Like if he can get down from there, he will kill you.
You posted that picture of you with your sipper and I was, and you said something about like besties and I was like, I'm coming for you, Orange Bird.
I will fight that bird.
How dare you?
But he's so cute. You would love him when you saw him.
I know. He's cute.
I got some souvenirs like for my niece. She's three. So I had to bring her some stuff. I got her this little like Ratatouille set that has like the knife and the Velcro together fruits that you can cut open.
Oh,
and
I love those.
Little cutting board. Yeah, it's really precious. And it has like an apron and a hat and a little Ratatouille, a little Remy that can sit on her shoulder. I ordered, so my Kindle case on the way home started coming apart. So custom ordered it. I think they're called Clever Cases on Etsy. But they like custom make a Kindle case. Mm-hmm. And like, you can put like a specific quote inside. I can't really remember what I put. I think I put the quote from To Kill a Mockingbird where it said, before I feared I would lose it, I never loved to read. One does not love breathing. Mm-hmm. And the spine I put She Reads because it was very like small.
Yeah.
So it was like, this is what she reads. And then I also ordered a personalized signed copy of Book Lovers by Emily Henry, which is going to come out soon. I have to send you a link for that.
Send me that link because I'm
because we love her. She wrote People We Meet on Vacation and Beach Read, which I read at the beach.
I haven't read Beach Read yet. I own it. I bought it, but I haven't read it yet.
Oh, man.
So
listen,
it's on my shelf.
Where'd your money go, Karen?
Oh, my money. I bought more Funkos because that's who I am as a person. Technically,
it's a personality trait.
Technically, though, I bought all of these before this last week. They just all came in at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I pre-ordered this a while back, and I got Bucky from Infinity War with his magical hair that makes him a Disney princess. I love it.
That is my favorite iteration of Bucky.
White Wolf
Bucky is forever the best.
And the vibranium arm is, I love it. And then last week while we were recording, my doorbell rang and this was delivered, but I couldn't show you because obviously I was recording. Yeah. But I got my Scarlet Witch comic cover Funko.
That's super cute.
I really like this. I can't wait for all the other ones to come in. I'm very excited for them. And I got my Marvel Collector Core box from freaking January. They're so behind on these.
They need to do better about that.
But so this one is Disney Plus themed. And so I got, there's a little decal that is Jimmy and Darcy, who deserve their own spin-off show. Like, I know they're
doing... I'll be surprised if they don't get one.
I know they're doing, like, House of Harkness, but, like, I need an X-Files type show with these two.
Yeah, like a buddy cop.
Oh my gosh, kinda. It would be amazing.
Yeah.
It would be amazing. I got, there is from Hawkeye, a little trust a bro.
Trust a bro.
Pin. I thought that was so funny. The shirt made me laugh when I opened it. It says, I'm not single. I'm saving myself for Thor.
But wrong brother.
Yes, but it's still funny. It's definitely the wrong brother, but it's funny, yeah. Especially when you think about who says it.
Yeah.
And then the two Funkos that came with it are Wanda with the Darkhold, which is, it's the same mold as a, there's like a plain one, but this one is like a shiny red version. Mm-hmm. And then we've got Dancing Zemo. You can see he's legitimately dancing. I love it so much. I looked at it first and I was like, oh, it's Zemo. And then I was like, wait a second. That's the dancing.
I am going to write a strongly worded letter because Loki is also a Disney Plus show.
I know.
Where's the representation of Loki? He's the not
little,
there.
The little card only lists those four. And at first I was like, maybe it was before. But no, Loki's smack dab in the middle.
He's right in the middle of that.
I don't.
There better be a Loki box coming.
I hope so.
Maybe I'm going to throw hands.
Like, maybe they'll do like a full Loki box like when season two comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. The next box is Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, which I'm very excited about. That'll be a good box. I hope that there's more Wanda because I love her. But so that was, so Doctor's, the Multiverse of Madness box is technically March, and the, so they're behind. It's the March box. I just got, so this Disney Plus box is January, and then Multiverse of Madness is March, and then May, they've revealed the theme is I Am Groot, which I think it might be like, there might be some sort of like special or series or something that Disney is going to do. I mean, not Disney. I mean,
I wonder if they're trying to make it kind of coincide because May-ish is when the Guardians of the Galaxy ride opens at Epcot.
Oh, maybe.
So maybe they're wanting to align it with that and then something else too.
Maybe. Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah.
But so I got that. So those are all my pops. I got the I don't know if you've seen the Amazon exclusive. They have like the original six Avengers in that scene in the first Avenger movie where they like are posing and looking around and they're standing in a circle. So they released that as like a series of six pops. And I just got the last one, which was Black Widow. And I put it all together and it looks so cool. I'm like staring at it right now. It looks so cool. And I took a video that I sent to Sam at Grimoire Tea. And I was like going around and I was singing like the Avengers theme song. And she texted me. She responded. She's like, it's the singing that does it for me.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, this is.
Who needs a score?
Proof that I will be the next American Idol. Which is a dead lie, but it's really fun. I'll text it to you later. And they also did a similar like six series pops of the shawarma scene at the end of the first Avengers movie.
Hey.
Which is, I thought was really funny. So I got Iron Man this week. I'm waiting for Black Widow and Thor to like kind of go down in price a little bit, and then I'll probably order those, and then I'll have that complete set too. So that'll be fun. And then my copy of Last Night at the Telegraph Club came in, and I'm really excited to start reading that. And again, last week when we were recording, my doorbell rang and, my copy of A Magic Steeped in Poison and A Forgery of Roses was delivered. So I got those this week as well. Did I buy books? I ordered, somebody was selling the Fairy Loot edition of these Violent Delights, so I bought that from somebody, and I also ordered Only a Monster and Once Upon a Broken Heart, the Owlcrate editions from their website. Mm-hmm. I entered a giveaway on Instagram, and I won a free box of the February box of Novelty Chess, the book and tea subscription. And that theme is also only a monster, and it's got like cool, like sprayed edges, and it comes with tea that's inspired by the book, which I really love. And I also ordered the March box, which is a magic steeped in poison. And it's
such a good name for a tea box. I love that.
It so much. They just revealed the sprayed edges for that one. And it's this like really pretty ombre thing. I'm very excited for that. And I also ordered the Mickey Mouse Main Attraction Collection Month 3, which is Mad Tea Party themed. And I received some stuff from our sponsor, Here Comes the Nerd.
Yay!
I got my Patreon for, what month are we in? This is April, so March, I think. March Patreon. So the fan voted, the patron voted design was a Dobby. So he's a little mini Dobby with a matching sticker. And then the Knick Knack Club, which was artist design, is the Black Widow sisters, the cosplaying kittens, Black Widow sisters. So you've got Nat and Yelena as Joanna's cats, Miku and Tifa with the matching sticker. They're so freaking cute. I'm obsessed.
Cuties.
And then I'm on the highest tier, which also gives you a super secret special edition, limited edition pin. And this month it was Chica from Pokemon. And she's so freaking cute.
Cutie.
And glittery. I love the glitter. And I also received, and I haven't actually opened this package yet, but I ordered from a small shop called Taylor Joelle, and they do like these little tutu dresses, like character dresses based on different Disney characters. And I showed you, and I think I talked about it previously, where I got Mirabelle and Isabella. But I just got Louisa, who is my favorite. But I'm like waiting until I have time to open it and hide it from my daughter to surprise her with it. So it's still sitting in the package.
She'll love that. Week.
Oh my gosh, so much stuff.
I forgot two things. I'm glad you started talking about books. I got my Book of the Month box in.
Ooh.
So I got, I think it's Kai Kei. I'll Google it and I'll correct myself.
To me.
It's by Vaishnavi Patel, and it seems like it's about a woman who is going to be forced into an arranged marriage. And she prays to her gods who don't respond to her. So she starts opening some texts that she once read with her mother when she was a kid, and discovers magic that turn her from this dainty little overlooked princess into a warrior, a diplomat, and a queen.
Ooh, yes.
So it seems kind of like a Middle Eastern Indian Mulan.
I like.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
We stan a queen who can take control of her own future.
A warrior queen? Yes, ma'am.
Hell yeah.
And then I did an add-on of Dating Dr. Dill, because I've just seen a lot about it, by Nisha Sharma.
All right. Anticipating, Mandy.
I am anticipating you getting your butt here.
I'm so excited. So as of today, we have 8 days until I fly
as
to
of
Georgia.
Recording. Out yeah. Of so when you're
so when this episode releases, in 2 days after that, I will be on a plane.
Yeah,
she'll
be on a plane.
I'm so excited.
I hope you're ready. The weather can't decide what it wants to do here. It's been like spring. 70 is really nice. And then yesterday when I was out shopping, it felt like early December. So it was like really cold. So
I was telling you when you were posted a video about the flooding in your yard. And I was like, I don't have rain boots, so it can't rain. And
it's not
then I was like, I'm a Californian. We don't get rain. So wherever I go, there won't be rain. I hope.
Yeah. We're manifesting that it won't. But then I was also thinking last night, because it doesn't rain there, like, what if there's just a normal thunderstorm? Is it going to terrify your kid who's like a California kid?
No, she doesn't like getting wet, but she'll cozy up indoors with,
Yeah.
so she'll be fine,
It's not gonna rain.
probably.
We're gonna manifest
No, it's
perfect
not gonna wait. It's gonna be
weather.
lovely spring weather.
Yes. Just be ready for the pollen and the dog hair.
Yes,
It's here.
I will be ready. The other thing that's happening this week, so 3 days from today where we're recording, will be Scar's Alex story and An Arrow to the Moon are both releasing. So we're very excited about that. By the time this episode comes out, they will have been out for
They'll
four
be out
days.
and we'll have
So you
expected some
have
comments.
we have no you have no excuse for not having read it.
Nope. I do have to tell my funny with that. Our friend Amber is who wrote and who is writing the Fire and Starlight saga. And she posted a few days ago that she had a delay in receiving her paperbacks that she had to sign to get out for the release on the 12th. And so I went to comment to say, listen, I was fortunate enough to get an ARC. I've read it. So feel free to hold mine back so that somebody else doesn't have to wait. If you have some, just put me at the end of the line. I'm fine to wait. It's just, going to be on my shelf. Well, I went at the last second before I posted it, and it wasn't in my email. Like, I could not find that I had ever ordered it. And so it was like, there's no way I didn't order this. Like, I am like a fangirl, like an Amber D. Lewis fangirl. So I comment and I'm like, Amber, I am so happy that you posted this because I apparently I didn't order it. So Karen texts me making fun of me about how I somehow forgot to order it. And right after that, I went immediately went back and ordered like a bookmark set, or it was like a blind set that she has of like stickers and bookmarks. And she messages me and she's like, Mandy, you were one of the first people who ordered this. Like when it went up, you ordered it on January the 6th. Like I'm looking at your order. Do you want me to cancel this? And it was like, no, I don't like, I'm not ever gonna like cancel an order from an author, but especially not an indie author. Like I would never. So it's just, I will have a copy to go with my autographed books section and then one to go just on my fantasy shelf with, because I have an unsigned copy that I wrote in, just notes and highlights. So I can put one with it, one on the other section. It'll be great. Just scatterbrained.
So funny.
Scatterbrained.
I was like, there is no way that you, how did you,
I
of all
know.
people, not
Of
order this
all
book?
people. And see, I am dying for it to be the 12th and for everybody to get their books because other than our friend Autumn, I haven't had anybody, and Amber, obviously, but you don't want to like, I
You're
mean, I
right,
loved
right.
everything about it, but like you want people who aren't the author to talk to it, talk
Right.
about to it, talk about it too. I could not word there for a second. I had like a complete mental block right then.
Your brain
So I'm
melted
excited. Yeah, I glitched. So I'm excited to have more people to talk to about it because I've been
Yeah.
holding all everything in since
I've been
February.
so angry with you.
I'm just dying. I can't wait.
I'm so excited.
They've shipped both shipments have
Yes, I'm
shipped.
so excited. I got my tracking and I was like, Mandy, my book's coming. I'm so excited for it. I'm hoping that both of them show up like really soon because I have that virtual event with Emily X R Pan on Tuesday, which is technically release day, but if I get it before, I'm gonna read it. And so then when I sit
Yeah.
on this stream, I can be like, I feel more connected because I know specifically
Right.
what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited for both these books to come and to talk about it and just live in these magical worlds.
I
I'm so
know.
excited.
Yeah, we fully expect some feedback
Yes, please.
because when you're hearing this, they're both
It
out.
they're both out. So if you're
Go
reading
read
them,
them.
Please read them. Not if you're weed them. When you read them.
When you read them. Come tell us how come right we were. We have not led you astray yet.
We have not led you astray. Joanna was so excited. She was like, I loved this. Thank you for the recommendation.
I know. She was so excited.
She loved it. I was like, those are our things we're anticipating for the upcoming week. I'm so excited. Yay. It's a good week. It is a good week.
It is a good week.
Oh, I just remembered. I have one more thing that I'm anticipating. I'm going to see Rent tomorrow on stage.
Yay!
I'm so excited. I've never seen it live. I've only ever seen the movie, which I do enjoy the same. Movie. I know some people, you know, don't enjoy the movie. I liked it. It was fine.
It's when it's what you have, it's what you have.
Exactly. Exactly. So I enjoyed it. But it was funny because I was watching like TV with my daughter and a commercial for like Rent comes on and I turn to her and I'm like, do you want to go see that? And she looks at me like, what even is that? I'm like, child, it's a musical. Rent. It's Rent. I can't, how do I explain Rent to you? I can't. Just do you want to go? And she's like, okay, fine. Like it's some great burden to her. To go have awful. Some culture, you know.
Awful. You're the worst.
She's the worst, Burr. I say that to her all the time. Anytime. Yeah. I'm just like, you're the worst, Burr. And she'll yell at me. She's like, I'm not Burr. It's my favorite. It's my favorite thing. So I'm really excited. We're going to go. It's a matinee showing. So she won't fall asleep like she did frickin' during Hamilton. I was how? So, to be fair, it was like 9 o'clock at night and she is a small child. So she like got through like 3/4 of it, but we've watched Hamilton on Disney Plus like a million times. So it's not like she was missing.
Just
like,
didn't care.
She was just like very tired and like fell asleep. Poor thing. But so we're going to a matinee showing tomorrow, and we got seats, I think, like pretty similar to where we sat for Hamilton. So that'll be nice.
That's very nice. So it's
like familiar and stuff. So I'm really excited for that. Okay, that's officially everything that I'm anticipating.
Since we've had Jessica on our podcast today, since we had an intruder, we're going to make you wait a little longer for the fangirl freestyle. I'll have to come up with something scandalous.
Something.
I have an idea.
I don't know if I have an idea. Last week's trauma.
No, I can't top last week, but I do have something that it will be a fandom divided that I need a little bit of research on, but.
Oh boy. So stay tuned next week. We'll have a brand new fangirl freestyle in person and very boozy.
Yes.
Because we are going to be next week. We are recording together in
Nehemi's
library. It's going to be so
much husband fun. Is even super excited because, you know, we, like I said, we were videographers. He's working on pitching some shows right now. And he ordered us some like lav mics to wear like while I was at Disney. I came back and he was like, oh, by the way, I ordered some mics so that you guys' audio will be, and he's gonna set up his camera. Like, he's so sweet. I love him.
He's the best. And then he will be forced to hang out with my daughter while we record.
Oh, he'll love it.
I've said this to you before, like, she's just gonna glom onto him. We're gonna be chopped liver and she's gonna spend all her time hanging out with him.
Yep.
She is so funny. I love, there are pictures where you sent me where we were at Disneyland and she's just like holding his hand, walking along.
We're like,
excuse, what about us?
Hello, so, hi.
So cute. Yeah. She picks a person and she gloms onto them. And that's then her the rest person. Of us, yeah. The rest of us are just like, who are you?
Yeah.
So I'm excited for that. And then we'll have some of Dwayne Johnson's tequila to drink while we're recording. We're going to be extra incoherent next week because we will boozy. It'll be great.
Imagine us boozy.
I imagine that it'll probably be about the same, just turned up. Like the volume turned up a bit.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
Get this thing. It's trying to climb on my desk.
Hi, George Bailey.
He's the unofficial mascot, the unofficial pet mascot of the Incoherent Fangirl, George Bailey.
Yes. Yes. And speaking of that, y'all should let us know how you feel about Patreon, because you could be seeing this cutie right now.
This cute, he's got the cutest little face.
He's just so precious.
I'm fond. I'm fond. I think he's all right. But yeah, his little face is just poking up in the camera. As soon as you guys are ready, you can see him.
Yeah, so send us an email and or comment on social media. Let us know what you want out of Patreon so we can get that ball rolling for y'all to be able
Speaking
to see.
Speaking of that, how do the people find us?
How do the people find us? That is an excellent question, Mandy. They can find us on social media. We are on Instagram and TikTok as the Incoherent Fangirl. Incoherent Girls on Twitter, because Twitter has a character limit, which I will complain about until the end of time. One day Twitter is gonna like see us complaining about it and fix that. Let us have more characters.
I mean, really. We're not asking for 100.
I just need a couple more. Like, it's so close. So close. I think the character limit is 15 and we're at like, I don't know, 20? Maybe? Yeah. I can't remember. But we were very cranky about that.
If it's good enough for Instagram, it should be good enough for Twitter. I mean, really.
Honestly.
Just saying.
Like us on Facebook, The Incoherent Fangirl, or visit our website, theincoherentfangirl.com. We don't have much. We have every episode is linked there, so you don't have to like go hunting around to different streaming services if you don't want to. You could just stream it on the website if you're so inclined. Send us an email at theincoherentfangirl@gmail.com. We love, love, love to hear from you. Tell us what you loved about the episode. Comment on things we've said. If you have suggestions of things that we could talk about, that'd be fun. Or if you like,
doesn't have to be our fangirl freestyle. It could be like your, if you have a topic for, especially for the freestyle, something you think is controversial or you want our opinions on. Yeah, we're very opinionated, okay? And we love to tell you our opinions.
Or if you like disagree with any of our takes, let us know. We can start.
We will love to tell you how wrong you are, but
you're entitled to your wrong opinion.
Yes, you are. We'd love to hear it many ways.
We love everybody. Everybody is allowed to have their own opinion, and we are here for it. If you have an opinion that you would like to share, let us know. We love hearing from y'all all the time.
We're Ravenclaws. We like to hear what people think.
We do. Yes. If you enjoyed the podcast, like, follow, subscribe, whatever it is called on whatever platform you are listening to us on.
And leave us a review. We love to read those. We almost cried when we got that first review.
We really did. We like freaked out. It was like,
did you see?
Leave us a review. It would make us so happy. So, so happy. What else? Oh, we have a YouTube channel that has every episode so far. It's just audio. Because we're saving video for Patreon. If you want Patreon, let us know. Send us an email.
Yeah.
Tell us what you want.
Things.
Tell us what you want.
What you really, really want.
Oh, man.
We're also products of the 80s, children of the 90s. So.
Yes. Very, very true. What else we got? What else? I can't think of anything.
We have some coupon codes.
Yes, I always forget the coupon codes. I am the worst representative.
You're not.
You can visit our sponsor, Here Comes the Nerd, at herecomesthenerd.com. Use code FANGIRL at checkout for 20% off your first order. Her stuff is so freaking cute.
Yes.
You will not regret it.
It is.
So cute. They're so high quality. Speaking of Here Comes the Nerd, her Pokemon round is coming soon. She's waiting on some stuff from the manufacturer, and then she'll announce an official date. As soon as there is an official date, she will post about it. We will post about it everywhere we can, so you will know about it. If we have time before the podcast airs, we'll talk about it on the podcast as well. We will let you know when these Pokemon are coming. I promise.
Yes.
And Mandy's code.
Did you say the code fangirl?
I did say fangirl.
Did I completely miss that?
You completely missed that.
What the heck?
Oh my goodness, Mandy.
Okay. I am just incoherently delirious today.
You're on brand. You're very on brand.
I'm on brand today. Okay, so I have a code for us for Once Upon a Book Club. I haven't read another one since Circus of Wonders, which I know I showed off on the podcast, but they're fantastic, fantastic boxes. If you use code Mandy10 at checkout, you get 10% off. Just yes. Mandy10.
Yes, and it will be very much worth it. The gifts are adorable.
They really are.
The books are great. Like,
a lot of times I'll open one of the gifts and I'm just like floored at how cool it is. And it's something that you wouldn't expect to get in a sub box. So it's a lot of fun.
I was on the website the other day. I was like, should I order some stuff? I feel like I want to order some stuff.
And that was the incoherent girl. My gosh. Incoherent. Like, that's the best name we could have ever given ourselves.
It really is. Have we talked about how we came up with that name yet?
I don't think we have.
Well, stay tuned for next week and we'll let
you know. I'm knocking my microphone off in a rush to put it on my notes to remember this.
Oh my God. That was perfect. That's the perfect way to end this episode.
Yeah.
Just knocking the mic over. All right. Well,
it is
you
on
all.
My notes. We
thank
love you.
Thank you for listening. We love you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
We are sponsored by our friends at Here Comes the Nerd. Pins, stickers, magnets, and more. Here Comes the Nerd has happy art for all fandom-loving hearts. New customers can use coupon code FANGIRL during checkout for 20% off their first order at herecomesthenerd.com. Coupon applies to ready-to-ship items only.